Just driving around, you're like, yeah, what's up? What's up? Car still runs the same. It's good. Now I got a stereo system that I can jam out to. So I'll take care of it. I start cleaning it, vacuuming it. Why? Because now it's something it's mine. It's mine. I got tunes now. I got tunes, right? But when it's dirty, I said this on the other day, you just go wash it, the car runs better. It's like she's like, we call her, you know, this Blackie. Blackie loves it. You wash her down real good, and she, all right, come on. Y'all think it, you wash it, your car runs. Just got to put gas in it every now and then. Now, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. But abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. In other words, you ain't going to get any harvest without the ox. But you know why people don't want the ox in their life? Because they don't want to clean up after the ox. You know, let's say it now. It's called poo-poo. No one wants to clean up the poo-poo. And if you're around ox, you ain't pretty. No one wants to clean up the mess. Now write this down. Capital N like Nancy and capital M like Mary. NM. What does that stand for?
New Mexico.
No. Back up. No mess. No money. Woo, that's why we're family in here, Candy. That's why we're family. No mess. Now, right next to no mess, write NM again. Guess what that one stands for? Huh?
No money.
No, not no money.
More mess.
No mess. The same thing.
And no mess.
NM and then NM again. Okay. What does that mean? What was it?
No mess.
Okay, no mess.
No
mud. No. No mess. No ministry. No mess, no ministry. If you ain't ever done ministry in your life, let me tell you, it's messy. It's messy. But if you ain't got no mess in your life, you got no ministry. Well, Pastor, I ain't called a pastor of church. You have a personal ministry yourself. That's why you got so much mess in your life.
Amen.
So much mess, it's there to produce what? A harvest. Did you see that? It just said it right there in Proverbs. No ox, no harvest. No mess, no harvest. You got some mess, you're about to get a harvest.
Amen.
Some of y'all say, but I got a whole lot of mess. Start looking for a whole lot of blessings. Watch this. No mess, no marriage. Oh, haven't I been saying that every relationship gets tested? It gets messy. Why do marriages get messy? Because people are involved. Because people are involved. You got to deal with character issues. Flaws, or you got to deal with, well, I ain't going to name that. I love you, baby. I love you. Oh, well, watch it now. We got to be married to men. Now watch. If you have no mess in your marriage, it's superficial because you don't really know the person. When you get to know someone, watch, stand up, Jason, stand up. When you get to know someone, you don't know them at a distance. That's knowing of them. When you get to know someone, you get close to them. Watch this. This has happened from many of y'all to me. Even I do it to you sometimes. We give Jason a hug. Sometimes we go a little bit too fast and boom, we hit on the side sometimes. Right? You hit on the side. And to those that have glasses, sometimes, oh, right? we got close. It's real affection. Love you. And every now and then, not real hard. Every now and then we step on each other's toes. You can't step on someone's toes at a distance. So every relationship gets tested as long as you're really genuinely trying to get close. Do you understand? Thank you, Jason. What you have to understand is that if you don't have a mess in your life, I'm not saying it's constant. Most of us feel like it is. But that's usually because you have movement. No mess, no movement. I was telling Hannah at the game, did you see that guy fall? He fell because of the mud. If he had been standing in the mud, would he have fallen? No. But because he was trying to move, he fell. No mess, no movement. If you got mess going on in your life, it's because you're moving. You're progressing. You're doing something. And if there's a mess that's constantly around you in your personal ministry, corporate ministry, it's because there's a lot of movement. Hear me. I'm prophesying to this house. If there's mess going on, it's because there's movement. Whoa. Especially when you start to make a turn and to go in a direction that God said, and people don't want to receive what is being said, mess starts. Because there's movement. Do you see that? Remember I said when we turned the sanctuary this way? And I was laughing at y'all because we couldn't figure out where to sit. Right. I couldn't figure out where to really move and preach. Inez just moved again. I'm going to sit in the corner. Well, go in timeout if you want to. We just try to figure out and get position in a new place. And some people don't like change. But every successful corporation in corporate America makes change. Because if you're not moving, you're not creating things in the company. So we've got to make movement. And I know this to be true in this ministry as we're moving for next Tuesday to go to home groups. There's this shift. And when this shift starts taking place, some people are like, well, I don't want to do that. I'm going to do this. I don't like that. I've been a part of these, and this is going to be just like that. Hush. You haven't even stepped foot in it yet. It hadn't even started yet. You know what that is, baby? That's the dung. That's the dung. That's the poop. That kind of dung is helpful to the ministry. Because when you learn to be able to move by the Spirit of God, and watch this, the Israelites were being led by the fire and by a cloud. You know all kinds of griping was taking place inside the people. Just because there's a cloud, why are we following it? We've been around this place, been 40 years. Moses still had to do what he had to do because he had to obey God, not the people. Because people will run you to the grave. God will take you to glory. Understand? Mess is because of movement. We need the ox. We need the mud because mud creates mess. So the first M is mess. No mess, no message. Wow. No mess, no message. You'll never forget that one. Number two, what are we going to get out of mud? Mercy. Mercy. How are you ever going to know what mercy is unless you got mud in your eyes? How are you going to know what mercy is unless you're the one that needs mercy yourself? Usually mercy comes when you're stuck in the mud. I had a little truck, and it wasn't four-wheel drive, but in my eyes, it was the big 4x4, and it had big old mud tires. And it wasn't. It was a little Toyota single cab, two-wheel drive, four-speed. That was not a 4x4, but I took it in the mud, and I got stuck. Here's the crazy thing. I only went off the shoulder. I didn't even get to the field. All my friends that had mud, I couldn't even get to where they were going. I was. Next thing I know, nothing but mud. Matter of fact, you know where it is? It's on Blanco Road. Now they have that Hardburger Park. Okay, now this was years ago. Years ago. My first vehicle, the little Toyota truck. And I had roll bars on it, James. Roll bars on our two-door, two-wheel drive, four-speed Toyota. If it ever rolls, it rolled backwards or forward. It ain't going to roll over and over. Much less, this is my high school and college car. Like, hey, if I can get it to go, we're good. I had fog lights on top, James. They weren't connected, but they looked good. Now watch this. That was, you know, the Cape Cod apartments that are right there across the street? I'm saying this and giving you reference points because I just came from the apartment I was living in, Cape Cod. And my friends, hey, let's go back there in the woods back there. Let's go for it. Okay, let's go. I made it across the street and got stuck. Literally across the street. And I couldn't move. Now, I'm going to give you a reference on the timing. You remember those blue jeans that had the white and they were, what do you call those? Acid wash? Remember those? I had my red ropers on at the time because I thought I was a cowboy because I had a truck. Had red ropers, had that, I was styling, because after that, we were going to the club. Rock Wave. Y'all know Rock Wave. I never made it to the club, never made it out there in that field. I couldn't even make it back home. I was so mad. I was so worried about my 4x4. I was stuck in the mud. I was so mad, I wasted all the gas just spinning my wheels. And they came, the guys came back. What happened? Oh, I got ran off the road. I was going to tell them that I purposely got stuck. So they had to pull me out. They said, okay, you're out. You can drive. I ran out of gas. How? By trying to get out. Haven't we ever felt like that? We're in a mess and we just keep running out of gas. We can't get out of our mess because we just given up on faith. We're giving up on hope. Our tank is empty. We got nothing. So now we got to rely on somebody else.
That's real.
I know what I'm telling you. I'm talking about mud. It's the mud. Mud. Well, I was so hot, man. I was so mad. My red ropers, they were gone. I wasn't even going to try to clean them. They were just so, I had mud inside the boots. It was bad. I made it worse because I was so frustrated. Mud everywhere. I knew I wasn't going nowhere. One wheel was only spinning. But one thing about that is if one wheel is only spinning, then that means if you were to go somewhere, you would go in circles. That's kind of how we are when we feel that we've got everything based upon our gift, but we don't have the knowledge of Him. If we just focus on the gift, you'll go in circles. But if you focus on Him, the gift giver, He'll take you further along and reveal to you more about your gifts. Do you understand? That's why I told God, I don't want to be known as a prophetic house. I want to be known as a house of restoration. Restoration brings all elements involved with it. You understand? I had someone the other day, we were at we were somewhere. Because some religious spirits in here real quick checked me. You went to a Halloween party, costume party, there was goblins and ghosts and everything everywhere. I just rebuked them and I was good. Now, and I ate all the candy. It was good too. But listen, this gentleman walks in and he looks at me and he says, "Hey, prophet, I know you." And you got to remember me. I'm bad with names. I've got to keep using it. So I'm, "I know you too." And we're just like this, me and you, Jason, just staring at each other. "Your prophet Marty." "No, I'm Marty. I still don't know who you are." "But I know who you are." "Okay, but that's not helping me. I don't know who you are." And then he says, "Yeah, you were going to do Pastor Petty's church." "I know who you are now." Reference point. Clicked. His reference point about me, though, was my gift. Do you see? Thank you, thank you. And that's what I want to be known for, more than that gift. It's wonderful when God is using, amen, I'm not gonna put it in the grave. I'll flow if I have to. But I want to be known as, "Hey, you're Marty. I remember you with such and such." "Yeah, you're a prophet." "No, I'm Marty.
From the house of mud."
The house of mud. House of mud. See, anyhow, you don't want to spin your wheels, empty yourself of the only thing that you know of, and not realize there's more inside of you that can get you further along. Amen? All right. Mercy in the mud. Go to John 8. John 8 and verse 6. It's John 8, verse 6 through 10. I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. The religion scholars and Pharisees led in a woman who had been caught in an act of adultery. They stood in plain sight of everyone and said, "Teacher, this woman was caught red-handed in the act of adultery. Moses in the law gives orders to stone such persons. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something incriminating so they could bring charges against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger in the dirt. They kept at him, badgering him, and he straightened up and said, "The sinless one among you go first. Throw the first stone." Bending down again, he wrote some more in the dirt. Hearing that, they walked away one after another, beginning with the oldest. The woman was left alone. Jesus stood up and spoke to her. "Woman, where are they? Does no one condemn you?" Now, this was only in the Gospel of John. The other Gospels did not write about it because it's very one-sided, if you would. And during this time frame, for this to take place, that even them saying getting caught in the very act denotes they were the ones in the act. Well, why didn't they get stoned? It takes two. It takes two. We can preach on that all day long of double standards. But I want to point out to you that Jesus goes to the dirt. Mercy comes in the mud. Mercy comes in the mud. Here is this woman that is thrown to the ground, and she knows her life is about to be taken, rightfully so, as the law states. She knows she's about to die because she knows the law. She's not even concerned about the man. She's just like, "I'm going to die." But you never hear her speak. Never hear her speak. But Jesus begins to write in the dirt, the mud. Mercy was extended to her because the finger of God touched the mess in her life. Now, many scholars and many theologians have pondered at the fact, what was Jesus writing? Nobody knows. Many say, well, he began to write, watch this. "Oh, you don't have no sin? Kathy Randolph," and starts numbering the sins. "Oh, okay, let's look at Miss Joy Blake," and starts numbering all the sins. It says that in the scriptures that the oldest began to leave first. Why would the oldest leave first? More sins. More time to commit more sins. So it's probably the older one said, oh, whoa, hey, how'd you know about that one? Now, again, no, it's not written anywhere in the scriptures. Nobody knows. But when the finger of God touches your mess, it extends mercy to you. But would have been there to take you out. Mercy's extended in your mess. See that? You got mess around you right now that you can't fix?
Yeah.
That is out of your hands?
Yeah.
Out of your control?
Yeah.
The finger of God is getting ready to get into your mess.
Yes.
To extend mercy to you.
Yeah,
That Jesus stands up and says, where are they? Are they not here? Do they not condemn you? Then I condemn you not. And she didn't have to speak a word. She didn't have to say anything. She didn't have to go through a list of prayers and repentance and everything that she had to do. She just was at mercy for mercy. She was at the end of her life for restored life. Do you see that? So in the mess that you're in, mercy is being extended to you. And this is all just from mud. Mud. So you want to look at the mud outside and we'll get all kinds of revelation now. Mud. All right now. So we've got mess, mercy. Ready for number three?
Yes.
Ready? Miracle in the mud.
Woo-hoo!
Miracle in the mud. Yeah. John 9, verse 1 through 7. It's, if you don't know where it is, it's right after 8. Where you're at. It's right next to it. Just go right. You'll find it. I'll begin reading out of the King James Version. It says, walking down the street, singing do wa dee say dee dum dee dee do. I'm sorry, flashback. I gotta come back. Walking down the street, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, causing him to be born blind? Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. Kind of like how people do in your life, right?
Yeah.
They're looking for something to pin this on you. Yeah. Now, the scripture says that the man was blind, not deaf.
Yeah.
So he's hearing everything that they're being talked about. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You're right in the mess that you're in that you didn't cause, you didn't ask for, you didn't pray for. It just fell upon you. And the one that didn't even ask for anything, but was in their mess, that they couldn't control, they couldn't get out of, much less do anything about. And people are looking to put blame on you. It's like, hey, I didn't ask for this. Why are you blaming me? And why you got to bring my parents into this? Right? Just because I'm in a situation that I'm at, I may not be able to see you, but I hear you. And I hear you talking about me. I'm right here. I didn't ask to be in this situation. Much less I didn't call for you to come over here either. And now you want to talk about me? How many of you have ever felt like you're in your mess and everybody's talking about you? Making false accusations. Mm-hmm. Well, watch this one, because this is real good. These are disciples making accusations. These are the ones that are spending time with Jesus. They should know better because they've seen Jesus not ask questions that got them in their condition. Jesus never asked any of them, why'd you get there? How'd you get there? Why are you like this? Why'd you do that? Never in Scripture did he ever ask that. He never dealt with how they got there. He dealt with afterwards, not to go back. But usually students have a tendency to want to be the teacher. And the students begin to take it upon themselves to bring a revelation to the teacher like the teacher don't know. Are you hearing me? Many times people have a little inclination about what's going on and they go ahead and take a leap of faith, if they will. I know what it is. The parent sinned. Jesus says, oh, you're asking the wrong question. He still didn't even rebuke them about the question. He just stated to them, thank you, Jesus. Did y'all feel that one? For y'all listening to the podcast, we're in a storm right now. But Jesus is going to silence it. It's okay. Now watch this. He can hear everything that is going on, but he still can't do anything about it. Doesn't that really just get under your skin? You're just sitting there minding your own business and people got to come back, the holy ones, the church folk, and start talking about you right in front of you.
Like you're not even there.
Come on. Do you not see me sitting here with nothing in these sockets because I was born this way? I can hear everything you're saying. And Jesus only says one thing. You're just asking the wrong question. You know we want to get mad like, God, just. I didn't ask you to come over here. I know who you are. I didn't ask you to come. Now watch this. Oh, read the scripture. Read. Oh, he can't see, but he sure can hear. What is the next thing that he hears is, so he's probably wondering, oh, I guess he's, okay, Jesus is going to rebuke him now. He's going to rebuke him now. I can't see nothing, but you sure are right in front of me, aren't you? And mud in your eyes. Come on, baby, mud. Now, how come he just couldn't say, thou art healed? He'd done it before. Why would he have to spit in the mud? If you ask, you want the answer? I don't know. Y'all were looking for big revelation. You gotta tell me, Pastor. I'm gonna write it, I'm gonna tweet it, I'm on Facebook, I'm gonna do everything. What is it? I don't know. But watch this. Puts the mud in the eyes of the blind man and then says, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. So was it the mud that healed or was it the water that healed?
The word.
Say it again.
The word.
The word. The word healed him. The moment he touched him, watch this. He put creation at the very beginning from Genesis back into his eyes. He brought back fulfillment from Genesis as I created you from the dirt. And puts it back in his eyes. Washes himself in the pool called scent. 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 Why? Because the word was sent. Was sent. Say it a little bit louder. Anything that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall not return void unto him. The mud creates miracles in your life. Now, think about that. Now, let's go back to the NM, the no money. If your money is sinking in the mud is going to create a miracle for your money. I don't know how I'm going to purchase a house because my credit is bad. My money's coming to an end. But God has a way of turning some things around and creating a miracle in the mud. Mess, mercy, miracle. Just from mud. We'll make some shirts that say mud. You remember that? What was, oh, what's that movie? What is that movie? Tom Hanks. No. Life is like a box of chocolate. Oh. Forrest Gump. Remember when he's running? He's got that. Picks up the shirt. Well, no, they give him a shirt. Hey, this shirt. And he gets it like this.
Yeah, smiley face.
It's smiley face with that mud. Uh-oh. We had a, right? And then you see the smiley face all over for an instant millionaire. Anyways. Hallelujah. Watch the movie. There is going to be some things released in the atmosphere for those that are willing to hear, to grab hold of, that's going to create something that is going to be a money-making machine. There is going to be, people call this the witty inventions, the flugel binders, or whatever you want to call them. There is going to be a release that patent lawyers are going to be so inundated with so much patents that need to be passed. I don't know what you call it, but they're going to see a whole amount of patents being released. And it's going to the church.
Amen.
To the church. I hear it. Depending whether or not you're willing, doesn't say if you're holy, doesn't say if you're righteous, doesn't say whether or not you're without sin. If you're willing, you can receive it. You can receive it. How many of you are in a mess right now? That you need God's mercy and miracle. Regardless of your mess, there's a benefit in the end. Look at it as the cupcakes at the end. I look at it as now I can see my daughter in her kitchen doing a mess, but there's a benefit always in the end. Doesn't matter the mess. The benefit is in the end. Mess, mercy, miracle. Amen. Stand to your feet. Get them.